Hello and welcome along to this week's offering on the Left Wing Back podcast, as always in association with our sponsors, Curragh Sports, Emmett and Shane Moran, the two men behind that there. This kindly sponsored the Carlow Senior Footballers, a set of lovely gym tops there, along with Gary Nolan in physiotherapy last week. So check out Curragh Sports there on Instagram. Pádraic Dún Motors, located on the O'Brien Road. Pádraic will really look after you there price-wise, and some top quality cars as well, Skodas, Volkswagens, etc, etc. Ray Whelan Limited, the go-to waste management service in Carlow for quite some time. Murray's Bar in Ballymurphy, if you're in around the south of the county, call into Shane there, he'll look after you. And his minor county Camogie side had a draw with Kildare at the weekend too. They're motoring quite nicely indeed, as are the Carlow minor ladies footballers. And the Carlow senior ladies footballers have a league semi-final in Division 4 to look forward to in a couple of weeks' time against Fermanagh. Carlow senior Camogie team, bit of news there during the week too, of course. New management team are going to be in place. I don't have the exact details on that at the time of recording, but we will figure that one out for you. Pat O'Hearn Photography, Detail Menswear Carlow, PFT Travel, and of course they're after getting a new 52-seater bus, and they will bring you anywhere in the country, whether it's to a match or to the bingo, wherever you want to go. PFT Travel and MJ Farrell will look after you. And Earth Spas, of course, if you want to jump into a jacuzzi there to get rid of the muscle soreness, well, Bernard Mullen might be the man to chat to there. And check out our spas on Instagram. Thanks to all our sponsors. As we said, we have affordable advertising. We've got web-only advertising. We've got web and podcast advertising. And we've got web, podcast and logo on our short video clips advertising. If you want to get in touch with us, info@leftwingback.com. On this week's podcast, we venture in to the Carlow Senior Footballers' disappointing loss to Wexford. We look at the Carlow Senior Hurlers' upcoming game with Down. It's a fabulous insight with a fabulous guest, Mr. James Hickey. He's well known in Carlow GA circles and indeed outside of the county. He's with the Roaring Nisteig this year on the club scene. We cover a serious amount of ground. We talk about adult coaching versus underage coaching, Carlow hurling, Carlow football. Such a wide-ranging conversation. It's really, really insightful indeed. So we do hope you stick around. It's coming up right after this. Okay, on this week's podcast, we have a familiar voice and a familiar face. He's been on our My Time in the Gansey series, up there, one of the best ones we've done so far, which reminds me, we kind of need to revive that particular series again, which we might get around to at some stage this year. He played hurling and football with Carlow, of course. He's after enjoying a successful managerial career as well over the past couple of years. He's been involved with Greg Namana, he's been with Carnew, and this year he informs me he's with the Roaring Nisteig. So who else could it be? The one and only legend, James Hickey. How are we doing?
How are you, Kev? All well, thanks very much. Yeah, thanks for having me as always, yeah.
Yeah, and a pleasure as always. Now, as we record here, you're not long in the door. You're out doing a bit of coaching, but it wasn't below the roar, it wasn't in Nisteig. Tell us about that.
I just doing a bit with the boys, the young lads over there in the club, the Rangers 16s. Look, a good crop of young lads, and look, willing to learn, that's all you want, ain't it? When lads are willing to learn, then the rest of it becomes easy because you always have a chance, you know?
You must go every night of the week.
A lot of them. Look, sure, the wife understands, and you know, doing a bit with the under 10 Camogies as well, and it's great, you know. What else would you be doing?
But you love it, don't you? Like, it's your life. There's nothing else to it, is there really? I don't mean that in a bad way now, but it really is where it's at for you, like.
Look, sure, like, you love, whether it's kids or adults, you love meeting new people, and you know, I suppose if you can offer anything at all, hear a little bit of insight that can help them. Like, if everybody puts all the 1% together, you know, it can add up to be huge things. But we love it, you know. It's I suppose when you see how it can change, I suppose when you look at, I suppose, the success that we had over a period of time, and how the other side of that, maybe when we were starting our careers out, you know, we never thought we'd win anything. And then when you just win, it becomes infectious. And you just want to win the whole time, I suppose. And look, that's what it boils down to at the end of the day. You just hope with youngsters that you're bringing them through, that you're kind of feeding that middle going the whole time, that that consistency, that conveyor belt is coming through the club, you know. And all clubs are now different. And I suppose I remember, Jesus, many years ago, to talk here about, I remember Ballykillen won 3 minors in a row around the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And I remember we only had 1-1 in 88 we won one in 96 in our team, and maybe we won another sporadically, but remember somebody saying, oh, let's go, and there's good crop coming through, to win three in a row. And, you know, I thought, you know, Jesus, that's a big undertaking, you know, win one, you'll be all right. And they ended up winning five. You know, I'll just tell you, when you get the crop and you get that conveyor belt coming, you know, and, you know, see Burn Rangers last year there, you know, they won it, and now it's after changing back to under 18. I'm sure they'll be saying to themselves, look, we have a real chance here of doing back-to-back now. And, you know, but that's the challenge at every level. Like at under 16, the team we were with tonight now, like Bagnestown is dominating that age. Say that team, they have a brilliant team. Oh, Jesus, they're sure they won the hurling and football village. They're just credit to them and to the group of people that's with them, the great work they're doing. But they're the standard bearers, and I suppose that's the target, you know. You want to be there. That's to knock them off their perch. And, you know, and it's great to have a carrot when you're trying to get there. And the other side of that thing, when you are there, it's great to keep pushing that nobody else catches you, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. In relation to the 16s in particular, I mean, do you find the message, I think you're pretty good anyway, regardless of what the age is or what the group is, whether it's adults or kids, that, you know, you're infectious. The drive is there. The passion is there. It comes across and you're able to get it out of whoever it is, right? But in terms of, I suppose, making those changes and getting people to buy into what you're talking about, do you feel that's a little bit easier with an under 16 squad as opposed to an adult squad?
No, I'd say it's a bit harder now with kids because there's so much distractions. Like say when we were growing up, it was kind of easy enough. It was hurling and that was it. But now there's, like, as they call them now, the screenagers, because it's all screens, you know, that's all they're looking at. But and I think we forget that sometimes, that we're dealing with a different age of people, where for a span of 40 or 50 years there, if they were under 16s, they were the same under 16s, if you get me, the same type of person, the same type, everything was the same. I think now the way the world is changing, it's so different, and you're really dealing with, if you have 20, you're dealing with 20 totally different personalities. As where I remember, there's a man there, and we done a course with him in work one time, and he was saying he was with Jack O'Connor when Kerry won their All-Irelands in Jack's first stint. But he was saying that time Jack was preaching that the thing is changing, like this is changing, and the day of going in and delivering a message before a match for 10 minutes, that's out the window. You can only kind of deliver one message. So what Jack O'Connor used to do back then was, he'd walk into the dressing room and he'd hand everyone a slip of paper, and there was two or three points for them directly on it. And then he might deliver one message to the team. And I suppose that was probably maybe a bit to show Jack O'Connor probably a bit ahead of his time. But I suppose now it's really there with young lads. Like, they're all taking stuff. You have to break it down so differently for so many individuals, if you get me. But if you manage to do that, and it's time consuming, but if you can manage to do that, and then the collective, everything goes right up. But look, it's fabulous. I probably gone away for a long time now from my club, and it's probably trying to get back in and doing a little bit with them to give something back. But there's great people in clubs there. Like, if you take Thomas Doyle and Maisha, like, every time I go to an underage match with Connor, let it be to watch or to be watch Connor playing or a different group, you'd see Tom Doyle and Maisha, and you'd say, like, jeekers, you know, he must be over every team. Edward with our own lads, Frank with Camogie or senior, them boys, you know, 7 nights a week, and just, you know, infectious as well. But you see it everywhere you go. You see the old faces. You see Alan Bow with the Blues. You see Mark Carpenter. You see the Reeds with Pal. You see him. You know, you see them all, like, you know, they're all just, that conveyor belt keeps turning to a family coming back, you know.
Yeah, it's just in you, I suppose, like Bambrick with Nate Breed, John Hall with Palin Killen, with Kieran Bulger and Jarrett Bulger, I suppose, and the Connolly man over in Burn Rangers. They're in every club, and it's either in you or it's not. And I suppose if you feel you can give a contribution, well, you know, that's one thing. And knowing that you can make a difference is the most empowering thing. Also, I suppose going back to the way the landscape has changed, I suppose maybe it's a good thing that kids now have slightly different personalities. I suppose the drawback is that maybe occasionally they might be a little bit more sensitive, and that maybe heavy-handed approach that we were once taken is not universally popular now. But at the end of the day, I suppose I don't really know. I can't speak for Kilkenny, but I'd imagine there's no real room for that sort of sentiment down there, that maybe what you've spoken about with the same mindset of a 16-year-old back in your time, I don't know how different it is down the road. It'd be an interesting one to do a case study on it, of course. But yeah, I think what I always pick up off of you, I mean, do you feel that like you've got that nearly almost like a sense of purpose now? Because I know you a long time, right? And you are a deep character and you're 100% behind everything you do. You're a great lad to have on side. You're a fucking whore to play against. And everyone used to say that. Roy Keane type character. But do you now feel at this particular part of your life that that is your purpose, to give back, and that you obviously have something to give back? Like,
Yeah. Like, you have to give back. And like, I went, when I finished up my playing career, I went off because I felt that it'd be good for me and it'd be good for the lads. So that, you know, it's kind of a clean break, yeah? But then you always get the itch to come back, and you know, you want to give something back because the club was obviously so good to us, you know. Now, that's a two-sided coin as well. I would say, as like many club players, we gave our lives to the club, you know what I mean? And it was tough going, but we loved it. And it never felt like a chore, but we always done it. But the club, there's one thing about us, like, and I think people forget this sometimes, and I think when you realise this, that's when the hammer hits home. No matter how good you are or what you did, right, the club will always survive the test of time. The club will always be there. And you might not be, but the club will always be. And I suppose that's why it's so important that, yeah, well, that foundation is always going to be there. So, like, look, let's give something back, because you did have great days in the jersey. And I just think too many great players, and not even as much great players, good players with a great, say, mindset and knowledge of the game that end up walking away. Like, if you could just bring back some of them, you know. And it's like, I suppose, you take it as a whole, even with Carlo, like with coaching, you know. I'd see there, like, there's coaches, a lot of coaches don't work with Carlo there, but like, I'd honestly be of the sentiment that Carlo under 14 needs to be doing at 14 what Kilkenny 16-year-old is doing, because we need to close the gaps, and they're ahead of us, whether we like it or not, whether it's thinking or whatever. And we can say we're the same, we're not the same. They're better than us, because maybe it's a little bit of want more out of the player, or maybe it's just that the structures are the same, but because they're that bit ahead of us, they'll always be that ahead of us. So we nearly have to come two steps up nearly 2 years before in our development to get there. But look, there's good work going on there too, but it's important that we keep doing that good work and pushing on, you know.
Yeah, and to be consistent across it. I remember being in with development squads and stuff, and you know, we were consistently competitive with Wexford in particular. We used to give Dublin a right rattle the whole time. Okay, Kilkenny was kind of north and south at the time, north being a little bit stronger, and yeah, we found them a little bit challenging. We were always there or thereabouts with the south, but you know, we give the north a bit to think about also. And I think that was the same possibly for the year below, and it was definitely the same for the year ahead when you had Dennis Murphy and Feathers and Paddy and all them lads there. Like, and I don't know where it's at now. I can't speak for it, but the one thing I would have to offer, I suppose, in terms of some bit of insight into this, is the level at which a lot of those guys were at before they came into a development squad, and the work that was put in at the clubs before they became a county, whatever it is now. Is it a cold at under 13 or under 14? I'm not so sure. Like, yeah. And that's where it all feeds into what you're talking about with these guys giving back and passing on that expertise to get them into a position where they're ready to develop a year or two earlier. Like, is that something you kind of go along with?
Yeah, 100%, yeah. And you need to be looking at ways, like, if you do what you've always done, you get what you've always got. And we need to be thinking outside the box. And you know, they're really, like, I suppose the greatest, if you ask me, the two, we won a couple of Christy Rings as players and all that, right? But probably the best 2 days I've ever had as a Carlo player or supporter was the year we got Bet Offaly in the Leinster minor semi-final above in Port Leash. That was, I never forget that day. That was just Padraig, Ammon, Dennis, that group. Oh, man. And then last year in the Joe Mack final, like they were like that touch you right there, like them two. They were special days, you know. And it's probably disappointing to think. And look, again, there's good work going on and like there's meetings even going on. I was at one there a few months back of, you know, how to push on, and there's a bit of restructuring done up there at county board level, and there's good stuff going on. But I suppose we were in a Leinster Minor hurling and a Leinster Minor football final within about a year of each other. Sack 2, he scored a great goal. You know, Brendan Murphy, that team. Dennis Murphy played in the Leinster Minor hurling and football final within a couple of years of each other. But, like, they were great days, yeah? And they happened once now in my lifetime, you know. You'd love to see that happen again, wouldn't you? That's what Absolutely. We long for. That's what we long for.
Yeah, one of the closest things, I suppose, two closer things, not quite on par, but not far off it, I suppose, was the rattle that the 21s would have given Kilkenny. I think they were a couple of points short in a semi-final of a Leinster going back maybe 2015-ish, and obviously the standout one with the 21 footballers on Paddy's Day against the Dubs when they were pipped by a point, and Brendan Murphy was done out with a free near the end. Yeah. But like that's the same group of players largely that you've spoken about, with the exception of last year's Joe Mack team. Okay, maybe there was one or two still floating around from that particular time with the hurlers. Not many, but a couple, Jack and Richie, and you know, maybe a couple of others. And I'm getting the sense that your point is that can't be just willy-nilly haphazard, that we should be trying to maybe aim to make that a more consistent thing, to be there or thereabouts in reaching provincial finals, not to necessarily be in them, but to definitely be targeting maybe the final four in both courts. Is that kind of where you're going from?
Yeah, 100%. And look, and to be fair to the county board, as a county board as a whole, like Jim Bulger and that crew, you know, like they're pushing there for that. Like, you know, that meeting I was at there a few months back was very, very good. You know, and they were sounding everything out and sounding how do we push on here and how do we make it better? You know, one of the things stood with me was, and I think it was the new head of development up there, Pete McConnell, is it? Or Peter
McConnell, the operations manager, yeah.
And like Peter and Jim were saying that around that time they had a plan to get to a Leinster final within 5 years, and they did it, you know. And they said, should the goal have been not to win a Leinster final, if the goal had been to win a Leinster final, would they have won a Leinster final? Do you get me? And it's just the difference in the thinking. And but look, when you see what's going on there with the hurlers and Joe Mack last year, and only a few years ago, the footballers Bate and Kildare, that was another special day. But, you know, like, nothing's impossible. You know, if you really want to go after it, you know, and put structures in place, you know, things can happen. And thankfully, look, that's the county board's objective to push on this thing.
Yeah. And James, you have that mindset, right? Now, my view on it would be, we need several others with a similar view that's all pushing in that particular direction. I'm not saying that that's not there, but what I am saying is that if one person out of a select group isn't, it can be the difference in maybe reaching that target and not.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. No, you're dead right on that. Yeah. It takes every club in this county, and it takes the best people in the county to go in and put their shoulder to the wheel. And it's tough, don't get me wrong, it's tough because life does take over and nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors and people have other things, but there's enough great people in this county to drive it on, you know.
Yeah, there is. And look, we'll bring it back to the modern day. I know we had no intention whatsoever of going that particular direction, but it's a great direction we went. And that's kind of the way these conversations tend to go whenever you come onto this pod, James. But like, we'll speak about the footballers a little bit first. And, you know, they break your heart at times. I mean, they do so much good stuff and then they come undone. And maybe that's just the nature of the way Division 4 is, of course, as well. I was on Beat 102-103 the other day, and they asked for a prediction. I hate giving predictions. I like to leave it to the likes of yourself to put yourself up on the pedestal, and I'll take the step back and just watch there with the popcorn, right? Well, I had said a draw, and after 48 or 49 minutes, we were looking good. At halftime, it was looking good, 48, 49 minutes, and then we didn't score again after that, and Wexford got a run on us, and we just didn't have any answers. Body language at times wasn't great, being brutally honest, and it was very disappointing the way it ended up, particularly after the high of getting over Leitrim in the manner in which we did the week before. And I suppose the question would be, like, you know, is there a simple answer as to why that inconsistency actually happens, or is there anything that you can offer up maybe?
No, like, look, and you see it there yourselves, like, Leash are going to get promoted, and then there's four teams on 6 points. I think that probably, to be fair, Wexford were robbed against Leitrim with a penalty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Wexford have probably been the most unluckiest team in the group, right? So for anyone to think that Wexford were going to come to Carlow and be steamrolled, they weren't. Like, and don't forget, in the O'Byrne Cup, they hammered Dublin and Wexford. Yeah. Like, and that normally doesn't happen to any Dublin team, whether they're only young lads or whatever. Yeah. Wexford gave them I was following that match that day. They could have been beaten by 10 or 12 points at one stage. And look, they have a new management there. They're going well. And don't be surprised now if Wexford, I think Wexford is to play Longford, is it as well?
Longford, yeah.
Yeah, don't be surprised if Wexford is the team that ends up getting promoted over that, because look, Division 4 is cutthroat, and it's so, oh man, it's you can call it basement level stuff, but it's awful. Like, it's like, you know, rats fighting to survive. And to be fair to Leash have gone about their business, and they've got the wins. But like, if you're thinking what's the other team? Probably everyone is saying Longford now, but there's probably going to be another, you know, upset or two. This will go down to the last game. And I suppose the footballers, to be fair to them, they've been on a good run. And, yeah, it was like they showed that fighting spirit against Leitrim. And what a goal, you know, to get over the line. And, look, maybe the Wexford game came too quick for them, 7 days. Probably they had 2 weeks and let it settle down a bit, because it was, you know, it was all over the shop and it was, you know, a wonder goal and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes maybe a bit less is more, if you get me. And this team is probably, to be fair to them, they've been plugging away. A lot of them lads are, you know, you look at the Clarks, Dara Foley, Jordan and the boys, like, you know, they've always been there. They never let the side down. And you just like for them to get up and have a crack at Division 3. I know we were there a few years ago with Turla. And look, you even see Wicklow. Like, Wicklow, Jesus, they're rooted to the basement of Division 3 this year. And you're even saying to yourself, you know, it was great for them last year to get promoted. But there's getting promoted and being ready to get promoted, if you get me. Like, Leash look like a team now that if they got promoted, they probably won't get relegated next year. Mm-hmm. But Wicklow, like, caught Toffoli yesterday, 5-15 to 10 points. You know, 25-point bait, and come back. And I know Jackson's fierce lost to him in the goal. He's gone on the NFL Combine. Like, he's the leader of that squad, you know, kicking 5-6 points a game. Any dead ball from 55 in, it's a point. And seem to be lacking his leadership too. But you just hope the footballers now can get together over the next couple of games. Like, Jesus, who knows against Longford, but that'll be a tricky one. And it's London last then, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's in Carlow, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But look, if they go up to Longford and if they go up to Longford and get the win, like, you know, you can't write them off just yet. They're still there. They still have a chance, and hopefully they keep fighting, you know, until the end.
Yeah, and I suppose the way it works out, as you rightly said there, yeah, we're away to Longford and we're home to London. Wexford next time out are away to Tipperary, and then they're at home to Longford, and Tip have been very wishy-washy, of course. They drew with Waterford and drew with London. Now, like, people look at that Waterford and say, ah, Jesus Christ. Waterford were going to take a point somewhere, and Longford only beat them by 2 or 3 points as well. Like, I mean, Tip as well almost beat Leash. Like, they were 3 or 4 points up. Leash rattled off the last 4 or 5 points, and that's what, I suppose, led to their particular demise. But they're not going to be steamrolled either. Like, they're only on the 4 points, but they're in with a squeak. It's so hard to predict. Like, it wouldn't surprise me in any way if Carlow went up and beat Longford now. Like, it's just, you can't predict what they're going to do. This is it. I mean, you know, for a couple of years, we knew we were going to be competitive in all these games. And yet, we look at this year's particular campaign. We go and we hammer Waterford. Okay, we barely got over Tipperary or whatever. Then we get thumped by Leash. And then we get thumped by Wexford. I mean, there's literally, if you look at a graph there or some sort of a chart, it's just up and down, up and down. There is no level of consistency whatsoever. But I suppose maybe in Thurlow's time, whenever we were tipping around promotions and getting promoted and all that,
we were never like beaten by that much, and I know our style of play came into it in that particular facet. I just don't know why there's such a fluctuation now, like, and what lacks in order for us to not be, you know, to be hard bet, I suppose, when we are bet, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, and I get what you're saying there, and we're probably, when Turla and Poacher had the team, it was Turla, like, it was just great there, wasn't it? It was great, like, they seemed to have that togetherness, right? And then Turla left, like, but don't forget also, like, they're after losing a good few leaders of that team, like Conor Lawler has gone to the hurling. You see John Murphy, John Murphy was playing brilliant for Turla, and you could stay naming him. But, like, yeah, there's different players now. To be fair, they've had to bring in a few young lads. And, like, look, on their day, to be fair to them, and it's hard to be hard on and management when you know, like, they're doing their best and, you know, they're trying hard. I suppose the only thing at the moment it boils down to is the consistency and maybe the lack of maybe a few more leaders in those, you know, tight moments that, yeah, when the game is, we call them the championship minutes, the last 15, when it's time to really grind this out. You know, we seem to be lacking a couple of leaders at the moment to pull it through. But at the same time, look, we could be sitting here in 3 weeks' time saying Carlow are promoted, Whippy, great bunch. And so, like, to be fair, look, they're plugging away, and I'm sure them lads are giving it everything they have. And, like, let's hope that, you know, the ball could bounce for us. But are we ready to go from Division 4 to Division 3? Some people say, are you ever ready? But you'd love to be going there with a fully fit squad built over 3 or 4 years and knowing that, yeah, there's 3 or 4 really, really good young lads coming onto the scene. It might take another year or two for that, you know. And I know Jordan and the boys are getting older, but, you know, who knows?
The rumour mill is rife regarding Jordan Morrissey too. I don't know if his availability is going to be plentiful come a couple of weeks' time, but that's not confirmed just yet. I don't know the exact ins and outs, but we're hearing rumours that he may not be around for the entire campaign, but I don't know the exact date if he is to depart. But anyway, look, just back to it, and I wouldn't be really, I'd find it hard to be critical. I think they're a very good bunch of lads as well, and very likeable, very grounded bunch, actually. And you can see even when the kids come to them after the match and look for their autographs and stuff like that, they're very good with them, and they're very good to deal with from a media point of view, as are the management. Like, Carew will always have a chat with a good batter and different Simon. Likewise, I suppose the one thing that has been said to me, and it's something that I kind of have to point out on the podcast, is the timing of substitutions. Now, it's something that was pointed out in the victory over Leitrim as well. Like, I think Eric Malight come in maybe 71 minutes in. We made a change at halftime the other day with Conor Crowley coming off. I think that was due to an injury. The next changes were in the 60/61st minute, and Wexford 2 or 3 made at that particular point. Now, when the game was in the balance, you could probably see the legs starting to tire. That's 47, 48 minutes. So I suppose if there is anything to be said about that, maybe that's one thing we could probably put out there. I don't know if it's anything that you have a particular view on, but I suppose we would know maybe on a night like that when legs are starting to dwindle a bit, heavy ground, that we probably should be looking at getting fresh legs in, perhaps, maybe.
Yeah, and look, it's that's, I suppose, ultimately a management decision. And look, you can read too much into this stuff. I suppose if you take the other night, as you said earlier, they were in the game and you predicted a draw, and you're thinking, yeah, look, we're still in the game, a point down, 2 points down, 3 points down, 4 points down, and then it just runs away from you. Do you get me? But you're always, I suppose, hoping, and, you know, that's probably a tough one, you know. It's, you can be going all right. You can always be going all right, and one thing can happen, or you can pull someone out, and the next thing, it doesn't work, and the whole thing backfires. But, look, the management, I'm sure, look, everybody, that's probably a big problem I'd have with today is, especially at inter-county level, with social media and that, you know, to tear managers apart. A lot of it is unjust. It's unfair. Like, if you think of what they write and have written about Glenn Reinicke there over the last, say, six. Ah, man, it's like, it's That's a man, and I know he can only be judged on management because he's a manager, but like, he is Anthony Rainbow with him. He is Johnny Doyle with him. Like, Kildare legends, and like, it's just constant abuse. It's just nearly every time they play now, they're just waiting with the keyboard out, ready to go. And there's no probably fairness in it. There's no, you come back then, the manager says anything back at all and he's having a whinge and look, it's getting to him and all that. But this lad is a lad that has to go home to a family with a wife and kids. And a lot of these managers, and I'd know from talking to a couple of them now, not Glenn Ryan, but, you know, it hits hard because the care and the love it. And a lot of these lads are only getting their expenses. They're not getting the big money that's being talked about. And, like, these lads have to pick up a whole group as well as pick up themselves. And management can be a tough and lonely place, you know. And you know, there is a lot to deal with it. And sometimes, you know, it's easy. Like, and you'd be listening to some podcasts and they'd be, Jesus, having cracks at lads. And you'd be thinking to yourselves, these lads never coached anyone or never managed anyone, you know. And yet they're entitled to their opinion in a rightful, respectfully and mannerly way. Not like, oh, he may go, he's hopeless, and, you know, do you get me?
Absolutely, 100%. All these guys do have lives, and they have a lot going on in them as well, and I have the height respect for, as I said, the management and players. It's something that has been said to me to bring up, so I brought it up, and I suppose, yeah. Like, you know, while we're at it, I mean, there is an argument to be made in that particular point about the timing of the subs, and, like, yeah, that's why me bringing it up, sure. It's my job to bring it up at the end of the day. They know my form way now, and I know theirs, and that's the way the whole thing works, is you. But I suppose last thing on that before I move on to the hurling is, it's just something I've noticed in a couple of games when things aren't going well. Now, look, when you're working there in a media capacity, you don't really have a choice in this particular matter. But it's not something I do whether I was working or not. I don't like lads getting up and leaving early. It's just not something I'm a particular fan of. Like, the term is supporter. You're there to support, and that involves looking at your team getting bet and looking at your team winning, in my particular view. Now, look, it's not to say that my view is more important than anyone else's, but I did notice in the Leitrim game, and I did notice in the Laois game, or sorry, not the Leitrim game, the Wexford game and the Laois game, the lads are getting up and going. Like, the Laois one was over with 15 minutes to go. Yeah. You sit there and you take your bait, and that's just my own view. People pay their money, they're entitled to get up and go. But I just think if you're a proper supporter, you're there through thick and thin, you sit through it, you stay there with the good times as well as the bad times. I don't know, James. It's just not something I'm a fan of. Don't know if you have a view on that.
Yeah, no, I get it. And some lads, they just, and I know, and I get that completely. But if you're a supporter and, you know, you're a heartfelt Carlo, like Dominic Hunt, Lord mercy on him, poor old Dominic, a great year old man, spoke to the team there, so he got cancer, he died. You know, and Domo, let it be hurling or football, he'd stick with the team, and it could be 10 points up or 10 points down, but it could be guaranteed Domo would be there at the end of it, you know, and he'd say, hard luck today, son, or whatever, you know. And I remember Dom, and actually, when I married my wife, Dom became connected because he was married to Amy's aunt. And I got to know Dom, you know, but that was a lad that I always wondered who he was, because he'd always come up to you after the game. He could be after getting flogged, and this lad would come and walk onto the field and give you, you know, a tap on the shoulder, hard luck today, son. And, you know, and I didn't even know at that time Dom was Carlo, man. And then you get into it and you find out who he is and his history. Every Carlo Hurling and football match. There was actually Leo McGough wrote a beautiful article about him recently. In you know Leo's articles that he posts there anonymously under a different name, but yeah, a lovely, lovely article. But back to your point, like, there is supporters, and, you know, they're high on energy and they're worked up, and if the thing is going bad, it's just, you know, yeah, well, I'm getting out here now to beat the traffic, and I've had enough for this night. And but there's one thing about a lot of them, they will turn up the next day, though. Do you get me? And I know what you're saying, yeah, you're either there or you're not, but look, A lot of these supporters are there the whole time, if you get me. So I wouldn't be too hard on them for that one.
I take your point, yeah, 100%. I take your point. So we'll switch over to the small ball then. And obviously, the Carlo Hurlers are doing particularly well. You were on this particular platform, I think, roughly in around this time 2 years ago. And I can't remember the exact trajectory that Carlo were on at the time, but you said Mullally, given time, things will come good. And obviously 12 months ago at this particular juncture, things weren't looking too pleasant, but then they turn it around and they win the John McDonagh. How confident were you still feeling in that process this time 12 months ago, as opposed to 24 months ago when you made the comment at first? Like, I mean, you just had absolute belief in this man, don't you, from working with him?
Ah, yeah. Look, he's like that, you know. It takes time, and, you know, if everybody else is panicking, he's not panicking. He's like, you know, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's like, that's all nice on the outside. What's in here is what matters. And like, I suppose we have to remember last year too, he left Jack, Mouse, Chris, you know, he gave them a kind of an extended break. None of them were hurling in the league, but he still was looking at new players. And yeah, like, just I remember they went up to Kildare and played him in the Cork Cup, got flogged, played Kildare in the league, got bit. And then, you know, you were wondering, Jesus, is there something going on? But, you know, I suppose knowing Tommy and the lads over him, I suppose you were confident enough that they were always getting it right, because they were always going to get it right, because over the last couple of years in the championship, like, they went to Antrim 2 years ago in the league in a must-win game and barely lost it. You know, they beat Offaly in Offaly. Like, they've beaten Offaly probably the last 2 or 3 years, if you get me. Betting twice last year. So, like, when he had everyone available to him, he was able to carve out results and pick a team that was able to carve out results. And just, I suppose, we touched on it earlier, just winning that John Mac last year, that was one of our greatest days. Like, that was my best day ever, probably, as a Carlo player or supporter. Just to, like, I've played on two Carlo teams that won two Christy rings. And our two teams had probably a mixture of everything. Heart, some beautiful hurlers, bit of everything. Like, the team now, 95% of them are just natural hurlers. They're just, you know, they're just different gravy, if you get me. They're all able to strike the ball fluently. They're able to put the ball over the bar left and right. They're just, on their day, they're a good team to watch, you know.
Yeah, they are. Their skill levels are through the roof. Like, they're really, really good hurlers, and they're really, really together. And, I mean, they're on a very good path at the moment. They're after winning the first three games. Obviously, now they're looking at an encounter against Down. There is history between these two sides. There is history. And some might say that it's not entirely Carlo's fault for drumming up that particular, I don't know, flair or noise, as you kind of call it, or maybe Tom Mullally might call it, paraphrasing, outside. And, you know, we don't want to bring up the exact nitty-gritty of it, I suppose, but, like, for everyone knows, it's on record now, there was allegations of sectarian stuff a couple of years back, which kind of just lit up this whole thing. And I don't know. What I do know is that Carlo teams went up the north for years, and there was all kinds of things said both ways, which, you know, two wrongs don't make a right sort of a thing. But it did blow up that rivalry. That particular episode, I think, blew up the rivalry. And now Down are coming to Netwatch Cullen Park. I believe the game is now at 2 o'clock on Sunday. At the time of recording, it's at 2 o'clock. It was to be at one, and that is subject to change. So do check out carlosga.ie just to be sure, as the fella said. But in terms of this particular, I don't know if we could call it a rivalry or not. Like, Down really get up for the Carlo games, and in particular when it's up their direction. This one is in Netwatch Cullen Park. Where do you see this particular tussle going now? Have Carlo pushed on a little bit, or will Down just bring them to a level where they really won't want to be for an extended period of time? Or how do you see it panning out?
No, I think Carlo, Carlo are probably in a great place at the moment, where they didn't get promoted in the league last year. So if, like, you look at Offaly in the league this year, and they're coping well, fair play to them, right? And Offaly seem to have come on another step since the John Mac final last year, to be fair to them. They seem to be, they drew with Wexford, should have won that game. Probably very disappointing not to. Went into Kilkenny, albeit played with a strong wind in the first half. But wind or not many teams go to Kilkenny and go in a half time 4 or 5 points up. Now, I know Kilkenny came out in the second half, and it was a different story, but they're coping admirably in the league, right? Carlo, though, to compete in the Leinster Championship this year after winning the draw, Mac, they're going nicely now in the league. they seem to be timing it perfect. They're coming good. I think the way Tommy and the management team will treat this Sunday is it's just another game. We get out there, we play to our potential, we get the 2 points and we move on. I'd love to see Carlow getting promoted this year, solidifying their place in the Leinster Championship. And now in 2025, we're playing Division 1B hurling because of the restructure, but you're playing still with six very, very good teams and back in the Leinster Championship. Like, that would be ideal scenario. One step at a time, as where if you look at Offaly this year, Offaly potentially are going to get relegated, even though they're playing well, could get relegated and might or might not win the Joe Mac. You know, now strong favourites at the moment, but as where Carlow, if Carlow had made that leap and be relegated in the league, coming into a Leinster Championship where they need to be actually hurling well, you know, it could be a bit of a downer. As where now, if we could get promoted in the league and then coming into the Leinster Championship, albeit promoted with a group of, say, not in a disrespectful way or anything, not the Dublins or the Galways or the Corks, but it's still a stepping stone and you're still getting to look at your team, your right team together, your ideal team together. And yeah, we're ready to go now. As where if you're in the league and you're trying things and, you know, the hits maybe might be a bit heavier and, you know, the going might be that bit tougher, that Carlow might actually be fresh enough coming into the Leinster Championship. And I think the Leinster Championship is really, really something to look forward to this year. But I think back to Sunday, I think Carlow will be very professional about Team Sunday. And yeah, Down is going to be no rollover. They never are. But I think this team, and you mentioned it earlier, how together this team is, I think this team is professional enough now to just get out there Sunday, do the job done, and let's move on. What's next, Kildare, is it?
Yeah, I think if I am right on this, and open to correction, I think if Carlow win to again, that guarantees Division 1 next year. Just the way the whole thing is falling. They put them on to 8 points. Of course, they'd have a head-to-head on Leash as well if they ended up on 8 points. If they did happen to go on and lose to Kildare, not getting ahead of ourselves, the job still has to be done. But with the two teams going up, I think that could be us, depending on what happens.
But is there league semi-finals this year?
Hold on now. We'll get this live as we speak, because I had this out with Alan Hartnett of Leash Today last week, and he actually went and found the actual article to confirm it. So actually, I think you could be right. Let's have a look at it here. So each team will play 5 ordinary rounds. The second and third place team play a semi-final. There you go. Never in doubt, James. There is a semi-final. Because that was floating around over the past few weeks. So yeah, there is a semi-final. Now, that really changes the landscape, I suppose, and maybe slightly, if not entirely. I think, having said that, though, we should be looking good to possibly go straight to a final.
Possibly, if we can take care of business the last two games. Probably the surprise probably this year is probably, and look, there's a new management guy into Kildare, and Herty's gone, yeah? David Herty, and done great work up in Kildare for the last few years. And Brian Dowland's gone in there, isn't he? And yes, probably trying to find his feet a little. I watched him in the Keogh Cup there playing Meath, and looked at, they were missing a lot of players. And I think, I can't be sure on this, but I think they are missing a few players at the moment and have a few players to come back. But to go to Kildare on the last day of the league, and, you know, Brian Dowland trying to get his team right, that could be a tricky enough assignment too, you know.
But I do think it is immaterial, because I'm just looking at the table again just to confirm. Like, we're on 6 points, Leash are on 4. We have a head-to-head on them. So I think we're straight in, and Kildare are on 1. Like, so yeah, I mean, we're in a good place ultimately, and that's the most important thing. But if, like, Down are on 3, so if they were to come into the equation a little bit, well, it'll give Leash something to think about anyway, and probably give us a little bit to think about also. So we really do have to take care of business first and foremost, and that's.
Oh, it's a must-win game. Like, it's a must-win game.
Yeah.
But I can tell you this, with Tommy Mullally and Christy and Pat Murphy and them lads, they'll be treating that like no different than a championship match, because that's how them boys work. That's how they roll. They don't know anything else. Like, that's their prerogative all the time, you know.
A curious one, though, James. In all the times that you played Down away,
yeah,
Was it ever in Newry or was it always in Ballycran?
Played him in Ballycran, always in the league, right? I remember playing in 2008 when we won the Christy Ring after. We played them in the first round of the Christy Ring in Newry and they beat us. And it wasn't looking great for us after that. And we actually turned it around and we went on a kind of a road trip that time. Sure, we ended up going to Mayo to play a semi-final or something. We ended up going to maybe Limerick to play or Kerry to play in a quarter final. We had a great old time after. But yeah, in the first round of that, but 99% of the time was Ballycran. Jesus, you go to Nori and, you know, you cross the water and, you know, but yeah, like I thought you'd stay up in the Carrigdale there in Nori maybe if you were playing on the Sunday and, you know, cross over on the Saturday night, you'd stay up in the Carrigdale and then cross over on the Sunday. But yeah, look, my great memories from up there, you know. It was like, yeah, it was out in, geez, and I don't mean this in a bad way or anything, it was out in the middle of nowhere, but it was, you know, yeah, there was often a bit of banter, a bit of heavy banter on the field, and geez, it was tough to be not in spare. But at the end of the day, after the match and all, it was good, you know, nice people, and you know, you'd be swapping tops and swapping jerseys and a bit of cracking. The Rangers actually went up there a few years ago. They got invited up to Ballygalgett for a weekend, and like the boys came home and they loved it. Like they were looked after like kings up there, you know.
And I guess I smile because I'm just looking at the, obviously it's not an away game this particular weekend, but like St. Mullins to Ballycran is 3 hours 53 minutes. St. Mullins to Newry is 2 hours 33 minutes. There's a fair difference in that. And I suppose when you look at, I suppose the thing that I just have a slight gripe about is, you know, Ronan Sheen talks about developing the game, and I know that's what he wants to do. But the inconsistency for me is, well, if you're going to develop the game, we know Ballycran is strong. Why are you not playing most of your games then in Newry, where you need to probably target and bring those guys in? And like, to make that a consistent point, look at what I've just said. St. Mullins and Burras, that really is the heartland area. The south of the county is the heartland. And those guys have to travel their 30 and 40 minutes into Carrow the whole time to play their county games. Look, maybe it's just me being pedantic and maybe it's a slight little tangent or whatever, but I just think there's an inconsistency where that lies. And I don't wish to be stirring it up too much, of course, ahead of the weekend or that. But I don't know if all those things are consistent. Like last year's Down Senior Hurling Final took place in Newry. And I go and look at the John McDonagh Cup games that Down played. And those home ties were in Ballycran. So are we trying to promote the game or are we just using that narrative when it suits? Like, I don't know. I don't know if you have a view on it, but look, it's something that has to be spoken about. That's what we're about here in the podcast.
Probably to be fair, and I suppose it mightn't be a bad thing, is probably to get him on the podcast. And, you know, because I do follow him on Twitter there, and geez, he goes to a lot of county finals. He's always at the Cork one. And look, he's obviously big into his hurling, and I'm sure he's a character. And you should definitely ask him on the podcast. But I suppose, look, he's always looking for the edge too. And I suppose they're trying to promote hurling. And we don't know the angle. And maybe it'd be wrong for us to give reasons why. And especially maybe for the sake of it. But, like, if I was over Carlo and we were playing whoever, and I had the option to play the match in St. Mullins, would I play it in St. Mullins? I fucking probably would, you know. You know, if especially if I wanted to, you know, make it as hard and as tough as possible, because, and I said it there earlier about kids and whatever and where you are, those 1%, like if you played every game in Nori and lost them and you played every game in Ballycran and won them, and like we don't know the ins and outs of it. And look, through the troubles up there too, there was, you know, there was tough times with clubs and everything, and I remember reading that one time. He posted it as well, and I found it an interesting read about maybe a GA grounds burnt down or something. But I'd say if you got him on your show some Monday night, I'd say everyone would listen to it, because
he's more than welcome anytime. Yeah.
You can reach out to him now Sunday after the match.
No bother. We'll have a chat with him after the match Sunday, 100%. We'll have a chat.
Ask him to come on to the pod there. And he will because, you know, he seems that type of a character that he would do that because he's a hurling man, you know.
And regards last week's episode, I said I was going to get a petition to have the game in Bahana. So I take it your name is top of the list in signing that then, is it?
Yeah. I know. Look, I think that I think we have an absolutely fabulous county grounds, yeah. I think in Carlow, sure, like it's coming up that tunnel, you know, that's when the hair starts to raise on the arms, whether you're 6 years old or whether you're 10 years old or whether you're 35 years old. And look, we have great facilities and we're blessed with them, you know, and it's great to see, you know, Finna taking such shape, you know, and now the dressing rooms are going to start to be developed in the centre of excellence over there. And look, I think Carlo does promote the game a lot in the right way, to be fair to him. And I suppose we can only look after Carlo. And down with Newry, we played an All-Ireland semi-final up there against Lochiel, like, you know, so that'll be forever rooted with us as well. But there's not too many places in Ireland finer than that Newry grounds. It's fabulous. It's enclosed on top of it's like you look at the Ulster Club football finals, a lot of them to be there, and it's just a fabulous place. It creates a fabulous atmosphere, very like Wexford Park. But and are you taking it? Maybe they don't see it that way, but are you taking away from other hurlers that give them the experience to play there? Because down there are as good as down anywhere, you know.
An hour and 27 minutes, according to Google Maps, from Ballycran to Park Esther in Newry. But just on this now, right, just to bring it back to Carlo there, and, you know, we were talking tongue-in-cheek about the game in Bahana or whatever, right? But Leo McGough made a very good point on the Across the Four Legs podcast last year in relation to bringing the Carlo Club Hurling Championship back out to the people and bringing it back out to the area in which it is strong, I suppose. And there is developments ongoing in McGrath Park and Bainistown. Now, look, I mean, anyone that's listening in a car or wherever you're listening, if you close your eyes and cast yourself back to being a chap, senior hurling championship, there's only one place you're going to think of, in my view anyway, and that's McGrath Park, and looking into the wire and maybe looking at yourself and Robbie Foley going toe-to-toe, or Ger Foley and Johnny Nevin maybe going toe-to-toe, or whoever it might be in there. Like, that's my memories of it growing up. I know it's a lot of people's memories as well. There's a stand going in there now at the minute, and I don't know when that's going to be ready. There's turnstiles gone in and all that kind of stuff. Is that what we need to do? Do we need to bring our game, in spite of what I just said there, and bringing it back close to home, without sounding hypocritical, is that what we need to do to grow the club championship? Because, you know, I'm blown the face giving out about it here. I think you know deep down, as well as a hurling man, that particular round robin stage needs a little bit of cutting in it somewhere. Is bringing it out to that area providing the cut, or is there more to it, do you think?
Yeah, I get your point. Like, I suppose, and it's mad. Like, if you're, I suppose, I when we were going well, right? Like, we loved the matches being in Carlow because you had the space, you had the room. Yeah, mm-hmm. You bring it back to Bangistown, it's a bit more enclosed. The crowds in up on top of you, it can be, you know, sometimes it mightn't be for the faint-hearted, you know. But I remember, my first match. The first match ever I can remember in Bangistown that I was at, that sticks in my head, apart from us playing juvenile, was my father brought us to watch Carlo playing Kilkenny in maybe a Leinster quarterfinal or a Leinster semi-final. Pat Cody's team, Sean Spruan, Niall Foley, Fergal Byrne, Decky Byrne, Killian Griffith. They went toe-to-toe with Kilkenny. TJ Foley in the goal. They went toe-to-toe with Kilkenny that night in Bangistown for, like, the whole game, and it was a penalty. And I remember Carlo saved the penalty, and it was there, and I think it could have been Niall Foley spun around because the ball was saved, but nobody could see where the ball was, and the Kilkenny lad ran in and tapped it in, and Kilkenny ended up winning by a few points, maybe 94, 95. But, remember Bangistown winning the Leinster Club final there, junior bait in Thomastown, was it? Martin Kelly was over him.
That's right.
Yeah, like, there's great games you can relate to. Like, I suppose, like, it's When you go to Carlow on a Saturday evening for a senior Hurling game and there's nobody at it, there's no atmosphere or nothing, yeah? But the game can still be good. Like, you go to Bangnestown or wherever, yeah, so long as, like, you could get people behaving themselves and, you know, the game is played in the right manner. You know, sometimes I felt that nearly the whole thing could get away from Hurling sometimes because of, you know, yeah, if there's a stand or whatever and it's facilitated right, yeah, then great, yeah, and it's great to see Bangnestown doing that. Sure, St. Mullins's pitch is as fine as it's in Ireland down there. Our own pitch, beautiful place. Like, there's fabulous pitches around Carlow. Sure, Michael, Jesus State, the art up there as well, Ballinkillen. But, yeah, I know, like, I was in Wicklow for 3 years with Carnew, like, and the way it worked in was six teams, right? So the top two went to the semi-final, and then you had your four quarterfinals, your two quarterfinals amongst your four teams. And that's when the championship really started, if you get me. Now there's a lot of meaningless games in Carlow. St. Mullins and Rangers, like, we'll talk straight now. They've been the dominant force, like, since 2006, since Rangers have won the championship. Now, Breed have won 2008, St. Mullins have won the rest in between, you know. And so since 2009, effectively, which is 15 years, it's been St. Mullins or Rangers. Now, I hope long may it continue for Rangers, yeah? I don't know about St. Mullins, but no. But like when I was a kid growing up, that was Michael and St. Mullins, you know. And Carlow Town were the sporadic team that came every now and again and challenged. I remember Carlow Town in a county final was 97, maybe, you know. But, yeah, it definitely needs something. It needs a shot in the arm. It needs, you know, you can't just have, like, it's too easy for St. Mullins or Rangers to get it right. Like, I was coming home in the car last year after training Greg one night. Rangers were after playing St. Mullins. I went to the first two rounds. We done the pod on the second one against Bangnestown. Rangers bet Meishan in the first one. I was driving out of Greg the Manor, listening to the game on the radio. St. Mullins beat Rangers. I listened to the last 20 minutes. I got out of my car that night delighted. Delighted. Yeah? Because now the focus has to come a little bit sharper. As where there was years there, and Frank can tell you, myself and Frank worked together, we'd often be talking about it. When you play five or six games and win them all, yeah, and some of them you coast through, and the next thing, suddenly you're in a semi-final, and the next thing, someone's starting to put the foot in your throat and you have no response because you haven't been tested. That can be a lonely place and it can catch you. But when you can get to kick up the backside you need, you know, it can help you. And the problem is, I suppose, with Rangers and St. Mullins, and to be fair to Michael now, I have to give Michael credit. Michael, I feel, are coming. There's a lot of good young lads coming through with Michael. They're playing a nice brand of Hurling. They won the Under-20 Championship. They bet us in it fair and square, and deserved it. I think Ballinkillen have the quality to get it right, yeah? They have a young lad coming through there, Thomas Sheehan, and you heard that name here now first. He's only under 16. He's going to be late to place up in 3 or 4 years. But we just need the others coming through. It's great that Kildavin have a team now and they won the junior, even at our cost. But look, we didn't begrudge Kildavin because it was great for Hurling. And hopefully they'll go challenge the intermediate. But now are they pulling from Burn Rangers? And is that going to be the next thing in a few years' time? Now you're going to have a slump, you know. But definitely, yeah, it'd probably be good to bring the thing back around the county for games, but it would also be good to have maybe a couple of quarterfinals. Yeah, now you can say, well, then nobody has anything to play for until quarterfinals. Or if you had two groups in the COVID there, what they done in Wicklow, then they brought two groups of three. The first team went straight to the semi-final. Actually, the first two teams went straight to the semi-final and the third team were out. So, yeah, and that's one thing I have to compliment Wicklow at. They were always trying to change it, to find something that, you know, could give them the bite. And look, you can tie in with these things so much. But look, it's always been that system in Carlo, and I'm sure people would like to change it. And in that one-off game of a quarterfinal, if you could win a quarterfinal, suddenly who knows what can happen. But if you're gone off, if you're playing it now in condensed championship, and you get one injury, and like it could be your whole season gone, because you tear a hamstring, you're gone for championship, you know. And it is a bit condensed, but look, we won it last year, and I felt that, you know, it was our best performance in the final. And kudos to the management team. They got it so right last year, you know. They were trying lads. They stuck with young lads. They kept them 2 and 3 games. But then when it came to the final, they moved around the chess pieces, you know, Paul and the lads, Frank and the boys. And they got it so right. But in another system, in another setup, would they have been able to do that if the championship was structured a little bit different? But who knows, you know. But look, there's lads up there in Carlo, and you know, that's their job, and we'll let them worry about that one.
Absolutely. Well, James, you've done a great job with us here for the past hour, so I want to thank you for your time. And we want to give a shout out, I suppose, to a couple of different teams as well. Like the ladies footballers are into the semi-final now in Division 4. They're going to take on Fermanagh in a couple of weeks' time. The minor ladies footballers are getting on well too. The result there is up on the website on the Carlo LGFA page. And just to give a shout out to Megan Kane, the new PRO, she's been fantastic in helping ourselves here with some words coming across to the left wing backs. I suppose online offering. You can see some reports up on that. There is a new management team, of course, going to be in place for the Carlo Senior Camogie setup. We'll bring you some more news on that when we have it. And Shane Murray, of course, one of our sponsors, doing great work with the minor Camogie team. They had a draw with Kildare at the weekend as well. I hope I'm not leaving anyone out. It wasn't deliberative, if that is the case. But James, once again, thanks a million for your time. Very, very insightful, and all the best for the year ahead. All right.
Yeah, no problem. God bless you. And thanks very much, Harry.